We're Connect FM, 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays at this hour, we get together with two esteemed gentlemen. First, brother Johnny is in New Orleans. Johnny!
Stevie J, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Mike's in Chicago. Hey, coach.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. Johnny had a big lift yesterday, and boy, Johnny had the claw out, Mike. This is the 12-story claw that can grab things off the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Johnny, congratulations. That was stunning. The pictures are unbelievable.
Well, I'm glad it went well. It's an interesting tool. The claw, well, the double claw weighs 2,200 tons before you start lifting anything. So that's a lift right there.
Yeah.
But it's just a big grapple. Big grapple. And it worked well. And we're always happy to have some good weather, Steve.
I know, Johnny. Well, it was magnificent. It looked stunning. I'm down here in Orlando for the Miss America Outstanding Teen Pageant. Your niece, Grace Kachaturian, just performed beautifully with her lyrical dance last night, Mike. And this Miss America organization is a big deal, and there's a lot of people. And, I mean, it's unbelievable down here, the energy and everything. And Johnny's going to come to Orlando and be with us for the finals tomorrow night. We hope Grace does well. But it's been exciting. There's no question about it.
She's already done well, Steve. She's there. I mean, she's done great. I mean, to be even picked for that thing is a pretty big honor. So, you know, I think sometimes you don't want to get too disappointed because she did great already.
Yeah, well, you're right. No question.
That sounds like a lot of fun, Steve, and it's a great experience, something different, something completely new.
No question. All right, let's begin. We'll start with Bears-Redskins in some preseason. Anybody worried about the Bears, Mike? Are they going to be fine?
Well, you know, I think everybody's worried a little bit. I mean, I'm looking at this preseason. I don't think, John, you say the same. I don't see a whole lot going on. I don't think guys are practicing like they used to. There's not as much contact. And I think there's a bigger risk of injury when these guys do start playing for real. I see people say, well, this is a second preseason game. I would say that my quarterback would play no less than a quarter and a half. Now, whether that's 3 series or 8 series, I don't care. He's going to play a quarter and a half. Now, in the third game, he's going to play into the second half. He's going to start the second half. There's no question. So you got to get ready to play this game. This is not like, well, I'm going to put a pair of slippers on and go outside and pick up the paper. It's not that way. And so that's the only thing that worries me. I look around and I look at certain teams, and I don't see a lot of all you're looking for in preseason, you're looking for some cohesiveness. You're looking for something to work between the offense and defense. You work, make sure that you're not getting penalties, that your special teams, you can get the guys on and off the field. There's a million little things, and I see a lot of this stuff going astray right now.
I don't even think they're looking at it like that anymore, Mike. I think they're...
Well, you have to, John. You have to build it that way. You know, the main thing, even substitutions, you know, in, out, who's going in, what team's out there, but especially with special teams. Nothing looks worse than that. Well, I got 9 guys on the field. I got 15 guys on the field, you know. And I think these are all things I'm looking at. I think so much has come down to, you know, the emphasis right now, and rightfully so, is in protecting the players. You don't want anybody to get hurt. But, guys, you know, I just can't emphasize enough. Football is a contact sport. It's a collision sport. People are going to hit each other. And if you're not used to getting hit, the first time you get hit, you're going to get hurt.
Well, we haven't seen a lot of starters either, not anywhere near a quarter of play. And I think the rest of them are playing the whole game. I guess the other point of it is to find that 15, 20
guys. Well, you got to find out if they can play, John. But, you know, that last game you have, you know, the last preseason game really is you're going to find out who's going to make your team or not, because you're going to play maybe your starters for 1 series. That's all.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Usain Bolt has apparently been on the lips of some NFL people. A guy that fast can't just go play football, can he, Mike?
Well, I don't think he's going to like it. I think, you know, that old saying, somebody's going to jack him up. I mean, it might be hard to catch him, but, you know, straight line speed is not the same. We've seen a lot of guys, and really one of the only ones that ever made it work was Bob Hayes. And
Bob
was basically a straight line player. But he made it work as a receiver in Dallas. But, you know, the straight line speed thing is wonderful. But, you know, you're coming out of the blocks, you're running on a track. Football is different. You're putting a lot of pressure on your ankles and your knees to cut and twist, and so it's a little different.
Yeah, and I mean, if he could just go straight down the field and get open, but I don't know. I don't know, Stevie.
Right, you tell you one thing, that quarterback would be way off of Mo John. Go back.
and you got to catch it. You got to catch the football, too.
Well, I know that. And then if you, you get back, and he runs down and stops at 10 yards, there'll be nobody within 20 yards of him. I don't know. I just think it's going to be hard. I don't think it's impossible. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's going to be hard if you've never played the game.
Yeah, you're right, though. They have a shot, and you can call it what you want, but he's just going to get creamed because...
Usain Bolt in an NFL uniform, fast straight down, but the first time he got hit. You're right, Mike. I don't think you'd like it. Let's switch to politics at 7:40. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. All right, I got to ask you, Mike. They're going to put y'all back in chains, Joe Biden, earlier in the week.
Joe Biden's an idiot, guys. You know, it's really amazing, and this is going to be the ugliest election in the history of this country. The mudslinging is unbelievable, and the mudslinging is basically coming from the left, not the right. And that's the only thing. That's the only thing they know. And I go back to one thing, and I'm only going to say this, and I say it 100 times: when you have no record to run on, you must run down the other guy's record. You have no record to run on. This president has no record to run on, economically, socially, war-wise. Anyway, there's no record to run on.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Biden's probably a nice guy, but Steve, I couldn't agree with Mike more. I'm afraid he is an idiot. If he was farming in Philo, he'd be an idiot. We'd all know it. And if he was if he was an oil man down in Texas, he'd be an idiot. I mean, he's a fun guy to be around. Vice President, I don't know. And I don't even know what he was trying to say, Mike. But I think the theme is that the opponent's a bad guy, and we're gonna take care of you. And I see him. It's been a terrible campaign, and the Democrats have really been.
Well, John, he's dividing the country. He's playing on that one thing you said. We will take care of you. The government will take care of you. He's destroying the upper class. Now, the upper class is what essentially America's been all about, the essential to grow who you are, to become more successful. You cannot take away man's initiative to succeed, his drive, his intestinal fortitude. And if you do, and you say, okay, if you don't achieve anything in life, it's okay, because we'll take care of you. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not the way this country was built, and that's not the way it should be. But that's what he's doing. He's separating this country into classes. And that's the only way he can win this election, is by getting the lower class to vote for him. But they don't understand, and that's okay. They don't understand.
Listen,
you get what you tolerate. They're willing to tolerate them, that's what they'll get.
The wealth of the middle class is what's going to get spread and destroyed. You know, I don't know what the top 1 or 2% is, but they'll just be gone, Mike.
Absolutely, they're not going to be affected, John. You're right.
No. It's the wealth he's going to spread, Stevie, is our middle class wealth.
Yeah, it's us guys.
You don't need 3 square meals a day. You don't need to be warm every night. You know, we're talking about, all over global spreading of the wealth. And really, that's a misnomer, because all you can do is destroy the wealth when you try to spread it. Okay. There is no wealth. So
I go back to Abe Lincoln. Well, you can help the poor by pulling down the rich.
Exactly.
You can't help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You can't do it. But, this guy doesn't get it because he's never been a leader. He's never run a business. Yeah, he doesn't understand what executive decisions are all about. Yeah, he's in a role making one every day as president of this country, but he doesn't understand it.
I think you're right, Mike. This is a big election for us, Steve.
Well, no question. And by the way, the White House transcripts have removed the Biden comments from the official White House transcripts. How about that?
Well, I don't know how. that's kind of indicative of what I see as the mentality of this leadership, which is a false reality.
If it doesn't fit, erase it. If we said it, and then all of a sudden we don't believe it anymore 2 years later or 6 months later like Obama, then just erase it. We meant it the other way. Well, that's all BS, guys. You got to stand on your word for something. And I mean, my goodness, you look at all the statements that he's made coming all the way through in the last 4 years. And I go back to one. It doesn't bother me one bit. If America wants another 4 years of this, fine. God bless them. If that's what they want, fine. You're going to get it.
Steve, you look at the health care bill, for example. Turns out it is a big tax on the middle class, which was not going to get taxed. It's a massive tax on the middle class in many, many ways. And the Supreme Court says, well, it's taxed, but, you know, if that's what you want, that's if your leader's going to do that, they can tax you. And they just say, it's not. The reality is they've taxed the bejesus out of us, and they're saying, not a tax. No, it's not taxed. Yeah. And so I think...
Well. Yeah. All right, 7:45, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka are on the line, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Now, the thing is, and we kind of knew this might be coming, Mike and Johnny, is that when it really gets hot in the kitchen, then we have to point out that he's half African-American. MSNBC brought up a very ugly thing and said that Mitt Romney was the N-word of Obama. He's bringing out terrible words, trying to make it a black and white thing, which it isn't. And Mike, that's just disgusting.
Well, that's as I said, when you have no record to run on, you're going to run against the other guy's record. You're going to say or do anything you can to be elected. That's not the way this was supposed to be. I mean, there's supposed to be some dignity and class in these elections. There'll be none on the left side at all in this election. None. There'll be zero. And MSNBC ought to be ashamed of himself. First of all, it's a communist news network. It's the worst socialist network I've ever heard. I mean, these people that are the anchors on it are unintelligent people. I'm sorry. They're unintelligent people. To think that what they say makes any sense, they got to be idiots.
Well, and Steve, there's no rationale. It doesn't make any sense either. What they're saying, you can't elect a president who happens to be black and then say, well, you're not going to reelect him because he's black. That doesn't make any sense. After you've been in office, you vote on a man based on what he's done.
This presidency should have been a Tootsie Roll. It should have been layup. It should have been a no-brainer. And it's not. Why? Why?
Not because
of color. Because of decision-making.
No. Exactly. And I think if you hear the race card, Steve, it's a very desperate attempt.
Yeah.
A Hail Mary. And I don't think that plays at all. I think that hurts them.
All right, let's go to Springfield. At the state fair on Wednesday, it was Democrat Day. Pat Quinn, Democratic governor, gets on stage. He's booed off the stage. AFL-CIO mad at the reform the public employees' pensions efforts, and it was not pretty. The governor could not even give his speech. It was so adamant. We're extremely disturbed that at a time when collective bargaining rights for public employees are under attack by a number of Republican governors, here in Illinois we have a Democratic governor who is undermining fundamental collective bargaining rights for public employees. That came from the AFL-CIO, but the Democratic governor booed off. There were people yelling, Governor Quinn's Illinois, the new Wisconsin. And they're mad. They boo him off the stage. He doesn't even get to speak. I tell you what, Mike, the Democrats have run the state of Illinois for how long? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, they really have. It's unfortunate, but I think there comes a time, too, when somebody, you have to dig your heels into the sand. You know, you can only give up so much. I mean, it's government workers. I understand all this. I understand the necessity of unions. I understand their value. But sometimes I think they overstep their boundaries a little bit.
Well, and they're fighting for the benefits that they were promised, which
yeah,
you want to do.
Yeah, they were promised them, but, you know, John, there's no way
much.
They can get them.
They
and this is going to be found out by a lot of industries around our country.
So I'll tell you, it's interesting, Stevie, because Wisconsin was where they had the Democrats leave the state and hide out in Illinois and Indiana.
Right.
And Governor Scott Walker went through the recall. And guess what? Today, about 4:30, I'm going to sit down with Jindal and Scott Walker. He's coming in because...
No kidding! Hey!
He's coming in, and we'll get to see him. He's going to help Bobby Jindal, who's also... They're also trying to recall Bobby Jindal, Mike, because he's doing the same thing, which is basically
trying
Bobby to
Jindal's
find ways
good man.
To
You're
balance
right.
the budget.
Hey, I understand what's happening, does it make it right? No. You know, you got to look at both sides. But if you look at both sides objectively, you find out that these guys are doing the right thing. You know, you just can't give away what you don't have. You can't
exactly.
promise
That's
what
the point.
Isn't there.
What's interesting, Steve, is that there just doesn't seem to be a grasp of the fact that if you don't just cut a little bit so that you can have enough money to go on, everybody loses everything. This is not an assault. This is an attempt to salvage what we've got. And it's just not, we've gotten to this habit over the last 20 years of, you're not taking anything from me. I don't, you know, you do whatever you want, but I'm not giving anything up of mine. Well, that's not going to work. We're not going to make it on that basis.
All right, the headline screaming this morning, the Barack Obama campaign asking for more tax returns from Mitt Romney. Really? Is this all they have, Johnny?
That's all they have. That's all they've got.
People say, why wouldn't you do it?
It probably astounds these people that somebody worked as hard as Mitt Romney and made the kind of money he made and had the kind of success he had. Because these dummies in office don't understand it because none of them ever worked hard at a job or led at a job. This guy was very successful. So when you got to attack people because they're successful, you got major problems in our country, really major problems.
The thing is, too, Mike, I think they've heard a little bit of traction, a lot of that's from the media, so they're grasping at straws. But see, the reason you don't do it, and they've actually answered that question, which is they'll pick him apart. They're going to go through that thing, and they're going to complain about everything he's ever done. Well, you had a nice meal over here. You flew in a jet. And of course, Obama will say that from the steps of his 747. You flew in a jet.
Right.
And his spare 747 behind him, which Romney, you, me, and Mike have all paid for, by the way.
Yeah.
And they'll just tear him apart over every little line item on that tax return. And that's what he said. And that's what they'll do.
Here's the ironic fact of the morning. Ironic fact of the morning. The Chicago, Illinois marks the location of the first Barack Obama Michelle kiss with a plaque at a Baskin-Robbins saved by Mitt Romney's Bain Capital.
There you go. Isn't that romantic? So I think that's great.
It's amazing.
There you go.
Going to get uglier before it gets better, guys.
No, I know. All right, finally, let me ask you about the lemonade stands. They want to shut down lemonade stands. Government regulation, they want to inspect the kids selling lemonade on the curbs, Mike.
Well, again, you know, it's a plan. It's a ploy by government to be involved in every segment of our lives, and it's wrong. But, you know, they can't even run the government. They're worried about running kids' lemonade stand. Let the kids run it. They get it. They understand it. These people in office don't get it. In Washington, they don't get it. If this becomes a priority, it's a tragedy because it's stupid.
Well, and the thing, what you said earlier, too, Mike, that the most dismaying is that it takes away the human spirit, Steve, the initiative, the excitement.
Entrepreneurship. Hey, I want to do this. John, where would you be if you wouldn't have had the vision and you wouldn't have had the courage to make the kind of decisions you made, to get into the business you got into and realize, as impossible as it sounds, impossible is to lift something that heavy off the bottom of the sea. I can do it. I found a way to do it because I have entrepreneurship. I have initiative. I have drive. We wouldn't be able to do this stuff if you wouldn't have thought of it, if you wouldn't have invented it. Come on.
But I'll tell you,
crazy
too, Mike.
Stuff.
And if Stevie and I hadn't been able to put up those lemonade stands and run our K's Carnival, Steve, if you remember our K's Carnival.
We had
that feel of that entrepreneurship and had that excitement of, look what we can do. We made $6. Just think what we can do tomorrow, you know?
And
that's what America is all about, is everybody free-thinking, making a way for themselves and accomplishing something. And that's what makes us the strongest nation in the world.
Yeah, it is discouraging, and frankly, having a front row seat to putting up a new radio tower, front row seat to regulations, you know, knowing what I know, Johnny, I'm thinking maybe we wouldn't have put up a new radio tower to have better coverage for our listeners. I mean, because it was so ridiculous. Mike, we had to worry about the endangered bats possibly hitting the tower. We had to hire an archaeologist. I had to get every Indian tribe to sign off on the new tower. It's crazy. Some of this makes no
it's
sense.
It's totally amazing what they're doing, and right. But then if this was somebody that wanted to do something else that is equally as stupid on the other end, they would probably let them do it or find a way to pass something and let them do it. Well, we got to make sure these people have a right to do that.
Well, what's the problem with all that, Steve, is the intent is to protect everybody and our environment, but the bottom line is people just quit doing anything. You can't do it. So what happens is we lose the innovation, we lose the creativity, and our quality of life goes down. That's what happens. That's what happens to socialists. Look at that.
That's what they want. That's what the government wants. They want a society that depends totally on them, like Big Brother. Like they're the only ones capable of making any decisions of running the country. Not that you can run it on your own. You can do anything on your own. You can run your own business. They want to be involved in everything. That's why they have all these regulations. And it's awfully embarrassing after a while.
Well, I like it the way we've had it, and it has worked. Steve, I remember when Obama said it's not working. It's been working very, very well.
Yeah.
And they need about 180 years.
And they need the government to stay out of the way.
Well, you know, and he's benefited, obviously, from our system. And it's amazing. But, Johnny, Mike, the fork in the road, I mean, it's one. If you want government everywhere, it's one vote. If you don't, it's another vote. It's as clear as it's ever been.
You're right exactly, Steve. But there are so many people out there that don't want to take their own lives on themselves, that they want somebody to take care of them all the time. And those people are the people that they're catering to. And those people are the people who don't get, because they don't want to work. They don't want to be driven. They want somebody to say, hey, come over here and take this. It's a candy bar. It's a handout. It's money. It's a soup kitchen. It's this, it's that. But don't we dare tell you to get up off your ass and work.
Well, I'll tell you too, Mike, it's not true. The bottom line is the government can't deliver those things. And that's
they'll put us in a deeper debt by trying to.
And they're not going to give you the free candy bar. It doesn't happen. It's all smoke and mirrors, and that's where we have to get the message out to the people. Even if they're thinking, okay, well, I want you to take care of me, they can't take care of you. It's not true. I don't think you should want someone to take care of you, but they're not going to be able to do it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So it's not really an option, Steve.
I know. Yeah. We're going to have to leave it there, and we're going to reorganize on Monday, get you all back on the phone.
We had a good day today. We tore about a lot of things apart today.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Johnny, Mike, will give us the update on meeting with Bobby Jindal and Scott Walker, and then Monday night, Johnny meets with Mitt Romney.
Well, I do get to meet him.
Thanks so much. You betcha. We got it covered, guys. Thanks so much for your time, Mike and Johnny. I appreciate you.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks a lot, Mike. Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you soon. That's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM.